You're invited to read the explanation of the second article of the Creed. It is printed in bold on that yellow insert. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God,
begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, in order that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The scriptures are completely full of explanation and meaning and implications and God's plans and the results of Jesus shedding his blood for us. This evening, we look through just a few passages and reflect on this part of the explanation in the second article. Jesus did not redeem us with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. My wife and I have had the privilege of closing out a few loans here and there, paid in full. Isn't it nice if you've been able to do that with a few things to get that final letter? The account is closed, paid in full. And if nothing else, for this whole sermon and reflection, remember that the new covenant is the cost paid in full. We pay with, well, not gold or silver, but with our money and our checks, right? But gold or silver, that's what we pay with. But Jesus paid in full with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. God knew from the beginning that it was going to be a death to pay for sins. And we see that he knew it from before the foundations of the world. God knew that this was going to happen. We hear from Genesis 2, as God spoke to Adam, Eve wasn't created yet. God spoke to Adam saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now here comes the classic, one of the classic confirmation class questions, doesn't it? But they didn't die, did they? No, they did die. They died in the relationship with God. As we've pointed out many times, as you've seen many times, Jesus does not call death of the body death of his people death, but sleep. The little girl is just asleep. Let us go into her. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Those who die in the body but in faith to God are but asleep. But living people who are apart from God, he says, are dead. And indeed, we're dead in our trespasses and sins apart from Christ. So when Adam and Eve sinned that day, they truly died in the sense that God fully means, you're dead toward me. The relationship is broken with me, and I am the source of life. In that day that you eat of it, you will surely die in all its truth. And this is taught over and over again in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 18 has that short little passage, that little verse that we often hear, the soul who sins shall die. That is the result of sin, is death. Now, God knew this from the beginning. When we think about Ephesians chapter 1, Paul wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." He chose us before the world was created. He knew about us. He chose us. And Paul continues, for what reason? That we should be holy and blameless before him. Now think of that. Before the foundation of the world, he planned, he chose us, and he planned for us to be holy and blameless before him. But he also knew about the sin that would come. And he also knew that the sin would have to be paid for by the death of his son. How else would we be holy and blameless before him? It was in his mind, in the plan, in his salvation, plan of salvation. Even Adam and Eve, our first parents, they would surely die. Their relationship with God would be broken. And yet his son then would have to be born, the seed of Eve, and step on Satan's head. And thus, Adam and Eve, trusting in the promise of God, could stand holy and blameless before God because they trusted in his promise that a seed would be born to do this for them. So before the foundation of the world, the shed blood of Jesus, the suffering and death of God's own Son was all planned out so that we would be holy and blameless before God. That was his plan from the beginning. Sin is far worse than what we perceive. What the world certainly perceives as sin, it's like you can sin and do this, and well, it doesn't matter, you can do sin and do this. If you don't get caught, if you don't get sued, if there's no result that hits you bad, then sin isn't that bad. And that can leach into our thinking as well as Christians. But sin is rebellion against God. And that rebellion against God leads to fear and leads to hatred of God. And hatred of God, hatred of the author of life, is death. When the serpent said to the woman, "You won't die, for God knows you will eat and your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And the text says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." And do you see what is happening right there? They are despising the word of God. God said, "Don't eat of that tree. The day you eat of that tree, you will surely die." They believed, or they were following Satan's lies, but also they were choosing to despise God's word. It was either God's word about the fruit, they would die that day, or Satan's lies. And they went against God and took Satan's lies. I didn't put it right in there, but verse 7, the very next verse, God goes looking for them. They realize they're naked. They cover themselves with fig leaves. They were afraid and hid from him. The very first thing when there is sin and rebellion against God is fear of God and hatred of God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins." And again, that biblical teaching and understanding that to be dead to God is the true deadness. To have a broken relationship with God, to rebel against God, is to be dead. Because then you'll wear away from the author of life, the redeemer, the forgiver. If we're apart from him, we're dead. We're just sitting in our rebellion, in our sins. He continues, in which those things you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, who Adam and Eve followed when they followed the lies of Satan, that spirit is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That is a natural deadness in sin, is to be under the wrath of God. And that is the confirmation answer. Yes, they did surely die that day because they were under the wrath of God. They were separate from him, and that is death. Death is not to fall asleep in Jesus. That death is to be asleep in Jesus and to be waiting for him to call the bodies back to life. Death is to be apart from God because of sin. So his plan was to bring his family back together from the beginning. Adam and Eve are his sons and daughters of creation, and their children and their children's children and their children's 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 to us. To bring us in, to bring the family back together. And that would take the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And that was planned before the foundation of the world. He planned to bring his family back together in Christ by the shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. In 1 John chapter 1, John wrote, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light," that's walking in Christ's light, he is the light, "what? We have fellowship with one another." The family is brought back together. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's what the world likes to say. That's what the devil likes to say. There's no sin. Don't worry about it. But that's not truth. The truth is that there's sin in us. So John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as was his plan from the beginning. So the shed blood of his son and the suffering and death pays in full the cost of all humanity's sin. Pays in full. Done. And every time we take of the Lord's Supper, we hear, "This is the covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Paid in full. Together again in God's family." I mentioned it in the 1 o'clock service, and it was briefly before that service that I realized this and thought of this. And I bring it up now. Jesus says in both about the bread, body, and the blood, the wine, he says, "Do this in remembrance of me. As often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Do you see? That is in relationship, in forgiveness, in remembering the words of Jesus, in doing what he calls us to do. You see, that is the opposite of what happens in sin and rebellion. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they were not remembering the words of God. They were going against the words of God. And when any of us sin, we are not remembering God and his commands and his ways of life for us. We're forgetting God. We're breaking God. We're rebelling against God. Jesus said, "Now when you eat this meal, do it in remembrance of me. You're in relationship with me." See, it's the opposite. There is life there to be with Christ, to take his body and blood. Jesus also calls this supper the new covenant. The new covenant is what God promised to do, for instance, in Jeremiah 31, which I preached on several weeks ago. The old covenant, what we read about in the Old Testament, the first covenant, was covered with animal blood, was made with animal blood, but the people kept breaking it. They didn't do the sacrifices correctly. They intentionally broke God's law, and over again they had to have the Day of Atonement and so forth. But this covenant, the new covenant, is not the blood of animals, but the blood of God's own Son, whom God planned before the foundation of the world to bring his people back together. And so Jesus says, when you eat and drink this, this is my covenant. In my blood, shed for you, your sins are paid for in full, complete. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are receiving the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, of Jesus' suffering and death. And God planned this before the foundations of the world. We had seven here at 1 o'clock, so I counted us out really quickly. I won't count us all right now. But whenever God's people meet together and worship him and then also take his body and blood, you think about that. God planned that the new covenant would be established before the foundation of the world. He knew Adam and Eve would sin. He knew we would sin. He knew we needed his son to step on Satan's head. He knew we would lead lives holy and blameless in Christ. He knew we would take the new covenant meal. From the foundation of the world, God knew our lives. God knew we would worship him. God knew we would take his holy supper. It's all linked together. God's plan was set from the foundation of the world that even though we would mess up and be in rebellion against him, he would bring us back. And that paid in full is what we receive each time we hear his word, hear his holy absolution, hear take his holy supper and baptism. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son, that in him all our sins and trespasses are paid for in full, done. We ask you to continue to build up this faith in us, to put down rebellions against you in our minds and hearts, to receive the forgiveness, life, and salvation from Jesus. All these things we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we sing the three verses of hymn 6, 3, 7, draw near and take the body of the Lord. The congregation may stand if you would like.